Number 275. I stole this. Heard one preacher say, I'm a gospel thief. If I see something good, I'll take it. Why is it well with my soul? And it correlates to the verses here of this hymn. The first one is, my sins are nailed to the cross. Look what he says here. When peace like a river. No, wait a minute, that's not the right one. My sin, verse 3, my sin, O the bliss of a glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Look at Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
You said Colossians 2:13,
right? Yes, and I read chapter 1. Sorry about that. No wonder it didn't sound right. Thank you. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. My sins nailed to the cross. Look at Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and verse 12. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The Lord will never condemn me for sin because he's forgiven me. They're nailed to that cross, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The law cannot condemn me. Look at 1 Peter 2. Because the law has been satisfied. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. The law, he's completely satisfied the debt that I owed to the law. Mine was taken, it was nailed to him on the cross. Romans 4, verse 25. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. That's the one verse that brings the resurrection into play in the forgiveness of our sins. And we know it's significant that without the resurrection, that none of it would have meant anything. But this connects the resurrection with our justification. That because he rose victorious over that. The law is totally and completely satisfied, and I am justified in the sight of God and before the law. So the Lord won't condemn me. The law can't condemn me. And Satan may accuse me, but I've got an advocate. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You know, there's another verse that denies Calvinism, refutes Calvinism. Because Calvinism teaches that the cross was only for the elect, not for everyone. Because only the elect are going to be saved, and the atonement was only for that elect as well. But he says, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world, all of it. But I've got this advocate, and if I sin, and the accuser can come up and accuse me before God, and Jesus Christ steps up and said, that one's covered. All my sins nailed to the cross. That's why it's well with my soul. Secondly, my circumstances are under his control. I should have written these down. Sorry about that. I think it's the first verse. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And you know, he wrote this after having lost everything in the Chicago fire. And then as his family was sailing across the ocean to England, the ship went down and all of his children were lost as well. When the sea bells roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me, it is well. It is well with my soul, my circumstances. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. We know this verse, but let's break it down. And we know that all things, that's all encompassing. Whether it be losing all my possessions to a fire, losing all my children in a shipwreck, whatever, all things work. That's always active. Not just here or there. Always active. All things work together. Always harmonious. Think about that. The composite of my life, when I get to look back upon it, I believe I'm going to see that everything fit together for the purpose that God had in store for it. We just kind of think of things as being kind of random and disjointed and you know, no relationship. But I wonder how much of that harmony we're going to see when we get to see the entire picture of what God has been doing in our lives. Work together, harmonious, for good. always productive. God knows what He's doing. The most perfect example of that is the life of Joseph. And you come down at any single moment in there and you think, what a terrible injustice. How wrong that is. And certainly in the moment it was. Until you get to step back and see it from God's perspective. As Joseph did at the end of his life. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. All things work together for good. To them who are called according to His purpose. It's always purposeful. God has a purpose in all of it. It's well with my soul because my circumstances are under His control. Maybe I should rephrase that. It should be well with my soul because my circumstances are under His control. Thirdly, it's well with my soul because Satan is defeated. Now, I put some of the verses with this, and I struggled with finding one for this, but look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Verse 16. You know, we got this general concept. We know that, you know, he's done, and we know how the book ends, and that ultimately he's going to be cast into the lake of fire and so forth. And before that, he's even bound for 1,000 years. But look what it says here in Acts 26. And this is a verse that I was looking for last Sunday morning. I had chapter 28, and Dan pointed out I needed chapter 26 here. Verse 16. This is Paul gave me his testimony of his salvation. And he says, "But arise and stand upon thy feet." And this is what God is saying to him after he's saved. "For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness before both of these things which thou hast seen and all those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." For what purpose? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. When we get saved, we are, you know, as it says, there's another one, I just saw that, Ephesians chapter 2. "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That was my life before I was saved. And he has taken me from the power of Satan unto God. Delivered me from the power of Satan unto God. Satan is defeated. He could certainly give us fits. But it says, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And that, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith." And then James says, what? "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." I'm delivered from his power. He can have no power over me but what I allow him to have. Certainly, Paul warned about giving him advantage. There's ways which he can get in there if I leave the door open. But all I've got to do is resist and shut the door, and he's out. I've been delivered from the power of Satan. Satan is defeated in my life, or can be, if I take what God's made available to me. It is well with my soul. And finally, John chapter, verse 2 here of the song, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And the last one, the last verse, the Lord haste the day when the faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it's well with my soul. He's coming back. John 14. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's well with my soul, because he's coming back for me. Having nailed my sins to the cross, having my circumstances under control in the meantime, and having defeated the worst foe that anyone can have. And I'm going to go be with him one day. So, hope that's a blessing to you tonight.